Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast, the podcast where funny people do art and have a chat. Something for everyone, if you like that specific concept. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and this week I'm joined by the fantastic actor and stand-up comedian, Eric Lampert. Very interesting talking to Eric about his amnesia and lots more. If you want to follow us on social media, then you can see our artworks from today's episode at Secret Art Pod. Enjoy and see you on the other side.
You got everything you need, got your water.
I'm so ready for this.
Yeah?
I actually really am excited.
Oh, good. I'm going to put the pencils in the middle. There's a rubber. There's a selection of new paintbrushes. Paints. Charcoal. Just listing things I can see. Before we start, I'm going to read you an intro, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
Eric Lampert is a fantastic comedian and actor who has appeared in multiple TV shows and films, including Life's Too Short, Moonwalkers, Fort Boyard, The Spice of Life, A Propos d'Antoine, and lots more. Very embarrassing French accent in front of you. He has been described by Fest magazine as a galaxy of brilliant silliness, highly disturbing, and by the stage as quirky with an eye for the absurd. I'm very excited about having him on the podcast. Hello.
Hi, Annie.
Hello. It's been sort of 5 years or so.
Longer.
Do you reckon?
It does feel longer. But every time I see you, it feels like very natural.
Yeah.
You know, I see you and I go, oh, there she is.
Apart from the last half hour where I've ignored you while I set up the paints.
Yeah. But that's okay. You know, you kept me waiting.
Yes, I did. And here we are. Welcome.
I'm very excited.
Good. I'm excited about having you on. So,
how's life?
Yeah, it's been all right, you know.
You've been on this side of the Atlantic, and I don't know what the UK is like anymore.
The UK has gone from bad to worse.
Oh, really?
Every year, every day. Yeah.
I mean, it's officially
UK. Well, I just
broke
the news to you that the Queen's dead.
Yeah, I just found out.
I don't know if you knew. You've been in LA, so.
I don't know if it was real or just, you know, the propaganda machine.
Yeah, they're changing the stamps and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What about the money?
That's the saddest thing about it.
I've got some British notes still in my suitcase.
Have
in LA.
You? Can I have some?
should I be changing that soon?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, there's no money left here.
But do we need to put Charles's face on the money? Because he's not going to be around that long.
He's a very old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say we're going to have another coronation, I reckon, in the next.
Yeah, let's go from Queen to like George.
So talk to me about, have you brought in a muse for us to paint? Have you got an idea of what you want us to paint?
Yeah, I do. I was tempted to just leave it last minute. Not just tempted, it is last minute decision. And it came from, every time I come back, I see a huge shift in the personalities or the people. There's an obvious transformation, right? Mm. So when you spend a lot of time with people, the changes are so incremental that you don't see how people evolve. But when you go away for a year, two, three, there's always something different about someone. It could be very subtle, right?
Do I look really old?
You don't. You actually look like the same age. I don't know how time works, but who knows?
Okay,
you know?
Great.
No, you look absolutely beautiful, Anna.
Oh, thanks, Eric.
You do see these incremental changes. And so there's something about transformation. That was the word that came to me, was transformation.
Did you have someone particular in mind when you thought of the transformation, or just like...
Kind of everyone.
Just everyone.
Everyone I see, there's a little something. And sometimes it's drastic, a drastic change. But it's a beautiful thing to observe. And the same thing goes the other way.
Yeah.
When I come back, people see the change. It's been really fun to see the evolution of people. So
cool. So transformation is our theme.
Transformation is the theme.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's very sort of conceptual. And I have no imagination, so I wonder what I'll do.
Oh, trust your subconscious.
Yeah.
You do have imagination.
Have you got an idea in mind?
Of transformation?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to let my subconscious just go for it.
Love that.
I really like when I just sort of watch my hand take over.
I'm okay. Just going to start. Don't know what it's going
to
be.
I'd like to apologize to you and the listeners in advance, but I think I struggle to do more than one thing at a time.
That's fine. Oh,
okay.
Don't worry about
okay,
that.
That's good.
It all works out in the edit. So I know you found art a very useful medium over the last few years.
I have, yeah.
Since, in your words, crawling out of your amnesia.
Yeah. So 4 years ago, 17th of March 2019, I woke up with amnesia. Everything was deleted from me. So that was...
Terrifying.
Mesmerizing, beautiful. I mean, all sorts of different emotions. And, I remember not existing. That's not a sentence that most people can say.
Something specific happen to you that sort of triggered it all?
A sort of variety of different things. Imagine, let's say a spaceship that then suddenly goes through a wormhole. Like, have you seen the movie Interstellar?
Yeah.
Where they go through a wormhole and suddenly the universe around them bends in such a way that they can experience more in one time. Like, imagine a waterfall suddenly going through a very small gap so it gushes out.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing that happened to me. There was a period between... I did hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So between hypnotherapy and amnesia, the sudden flow of time I was surrounded by synchronicities and coincidences that made it seem like my internal and external universe was communicating. I mean, it sounds, all of this, as I'm saying it, I go, this sounds mad, Eric, but it's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Where I would think of something and then it would happen. So then I was like, well, does that mean that I am thinking
and
manifesting?
Yeah, yeah.
Or am I preempting like a sort of clairvoyance? Either way, it blew my mind.
And what, when you said that everything was deleted,
yeah.
How did you know that had happened? If you had no sort of memory of things that had happened?
Everything was gone.
So how did you realise that? Were people saying to you, remember that thing? Or did you forget who people you knew were? Or?
Yeah, everything around me. So I woke up in my apartment, but I didn't know it was my apartment at the time. And the first thing I realised was I was able to move. So it was the very sort of nexus of consciousness. I realized, but when I say I, I don't mean I as in Eric, more like the I behind our personas, right? Like you're Annie, right? But if you remove Annie and you remove like what you do for a living and you remove like who your parents are, suddenly you just become a sort of shell, right?
Yeah.
Which is such a weird thing, but it's the I behind the I.
Wow.
And I sort of woke up and I sat up. And my hands came in front of me, and I realized I had control of my limbs. I had control of my arms.
Mm.
It was like if you've ever played a video game where the you have the introduction to the video game. So there's always like a little movie, let's say like 1 minute to 5 minutes of a sort of exposition of this main character that you eventually play as from a POV perspective. And so it's like I was turned on in this video game and my hands appeared in front of my visual frame. And I was amazed that I could move my limbs, and I was amazed that I could move like a cup from one point to another. I was amazed that I could get up and go from point A to point B.
So you felt sort of disconnected from your body almost, or like your mind is separate to your body, or like you or mind was controlling.
That's sort of fluxed.
Okay.
So because at that very point, I didn't know that I had lost all my memories.
Right.
No, there was nothing to fear. It was like just the birth of consciousness or whatever. I mean, it sounds a little too ethereal and intangible to try and explain.
Yeah.
But at that very point, Eric was gone. It's even weird now to speak of Eric in the third person, but I had to reintegrate an identity because, for example, to cross borders, you need a name, you need a passport.
And so had you forgotten your name?
Everything. Yeah. The only reason I know my name is because my ID was in my pocket. So when they took me to hospital, I was like, okay, Eric. And in a way, that's still the case.
Yeah.
It's quite alien. Like now when I look at you, I go, yeah, that's Annie. I remember her. but there's also, it's like there's two people in me. There's the one that remembers not existing. And then there's Eric that I used to be. It's weird, that right?
Yeah, it is weird. It sounds really scary.
Yeah, it was. It was nightmarish.
Yeah. And do you feel like you're back to how you were before? Or do you think that
there's
will
no way. There's no way.
That's not possible.
It's not possible. You know, like I speak to quite a few pals and stuff, and for them they go, oh no, you're the same Eric. You just, actually, if anything, you seem healthier, happier, etc. So there's, it's good. I'm happy in that, but I feel myself inside, wearing, if you like, the body of Eric.
Mm.
Is that like, yeah? It's like I'm puppeteering this corpse. So it's wow. Yeah, it's so strange. Very hard to.
And
reintegrate to like norm, quote unquote, normal society.
How have you done that? Have you had different forms of therapy?
Yeah, it's quite hard to find accessible therapy in the United States. Like I've got I've got a huge medical bill.
Oh yeah, of course.
And if you don't have money or insurance, then it's quite difficult. Mm. But an interesting lesson into what life is like in the US.
Have you found it generally?
You know, just like anywhere, I think there's pros and cons.
Yeah.
You know.
Better for the sort of acting, writing world?
No, I prefer it here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I prefer it here. Just the US is so big.
Mm.
So I think that's one of the things. But also just, you know, I moved to the US with a relatively good career. Like my career was pretty good before I moved.
Yeah.
So I moved with a career and marriage, and then I ended up unemployed and divorced. And then I had amnesia, and then the pandemic happened, and I was like, "Oh, fucking hell!"
Yeah, it's not a dream list.
No, you know, and you know, if there is such a thing as American dream, then surely there must be something as an American nightmare.
Yeah,
and I think that's the experience I had.
Were you tempted as a storyteller, to come back here, yeah, I mean,
as a storyteller, I've had it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've had. It's a gift. Like, yeah. For example, as an actor, isn't it amazing that I now understand that my body is a machine and I can take apart at will my sense of identity, right? Yeah. So I can become any character if I like.
People pay thousands to go to drama school for that.
Yeah. So I was like gifted in that sense, yeah. But also a strange kind of curse.
Ruined my life, but it's...
So it was odd.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry all that happened to you.
No, it's all right. It's not your fault, is it?
You seem very well, though.
Is it your fault?
Yeah, I actually did put a curse on you before you left. Sorry, I should have mentioned that at the top.
Yeah.
So do you find with your art, you're inspired by all these sort of life experiences? And do you like creating work that's more sort of free and conceptual than, say, just like copying a flower or something?
Yeah, I enjoy just playing,
yeah.
Without any necessity to prove anything.
Yeah.
Dan Harmon, right, the creator of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
He said something once which I really enjoyed. He said, "Don't prove that you can write, just write."
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I used to it used to slow me down in my creativity. Was trying to prove that I can write a perfect script immediately, you know,
yeah.
Or that I could paint something like, you know, like Picasso immediately.
Yeah.
And then when I heard that, like, just don't prove it to anyone. You're
just
only really
it.
Just do it. And as soon as that sort of came into my life, I realized, just play. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's really nice. At some point, we're all gonna die. None of this matters. So it's really freeing to just be like, oh yeah, whether it's a masterpiece,
yeah,
or really the worst piece of art that you've ever made,
yeah,
it's all going to disintegrate at some point.
That's true.
So that's kind of freeing.
Yeah.
And harrowing. It's annoying.
Yeah, it sounds positive, but it also sounds scary.
Life is a bit of a paradox. It's annoying.
Yeah, I definitely find it hard to sort of start if I've got a big piece of writing or a script to do. It's like, yeah, the fear of failure does hold me back sometimes,
oh, yeah?
I think. And same with this. Very scary, just not copying something, but helpful as well.
How long have you been doing this podcast?
Long enough that I shouldn't be scared of painting something from my head. This will be series 5.
Series 5?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, you said you had a similar idea for a podcast that you never did.
A long time ago, yeah. I really like the idea of exactly what you're doing.
Mm.
Painting something together and then just chatting. And I had the title Long Strokes.
Yeah, I like that.
Which I thought was quite nice. But never got around to it. And so, and you know, like ideas can come through loads of creative people. You know, similar ideas can happen.
Yeah.
And then I just never got around to it.
You got any art where you live? Do you own any?
Yeah, there's a couple of pieces that I bought from people on Instagram.
Yeah.
They were following me and then they commented on my art and I looked at their work and they, you know, they're relatively unknown / totally unknown people just doing art in the middle of nowhere in the US. And I decided to buy some of their work.
Great.
Just as a way of just supporting art.
Mm.
But also I'd never bought art before, mainly because I've never really had a home or anything. So there's
it's
nowhere for me to hang
you
it.
Buy your first thing.
Yeah.
It feels quite exciting.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
There was that artist support pledge in lockdown. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
It was set up by, I think, a guy in America. It was like, if you sell one of your pieces, one of your paintings, I think it was like everyone was selling for £200, you pledged to then buy another artist's work. So the money sort of stayed within the artist community.
Oh, that's great.
It's quite a nice idea.
Yeah. I tell you what, it is really hard doing two things at once.
It is, isn't it?
I'm really struggling.
Oh yeah, your art's great. It's quite dark, I think. Have people said that to you before?
Well, I think that came from the... No one's ever told me that, no, but I think it's come from the fragmented sense of self.
Mm.
You know, like my stand-up now is a real creation from that experience.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. I've become a broken record because of the trauma that I experienced.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people with trauma, you know, it's like that mix of attempting to move on from it while it just being such a scar, it stays with you. And yeah. I recently heard a podcast, someone said, you can't move on from grief, you just move with it.
Mm.
Like, you can't ever let it go because it's got a hold of you, it's done. I realized at that point that, yeah, I should just make friends with it.
Yeah.
And then make friends with my little demon that's holding on to me.
Yeah, well, it's a huge thing to have happened to you without... I mean, it'd be weird if you didn't talk about it all the time.
Yeah, but I'd like to change the bloody disc. But at the same time, it's every now and then it proves helpful to people.
Yeah. And yeah, so, have you had people come up to you after shows who have had similar experiences?
Yeah, or on podcasts or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
There's not many people that have had amnesia and are privileged to be storytellers.
Mm.
And so every now and then I find the right words to truly explain what it's like to remember a world where no memories made who you were.
Yeah.
Because without your memories, who are you? Huh, Annie? Tell me.
Amen.
Tell me. I want to
a sort of physical being. I don't know. Do you look at photos now of the time before you've had amnesia? And does that trigger you to remember, or are you just like, do you see yourself and you're like, I don't remember that at all? These are probably really basic questions. So
no,
sorry.
Don't apologize. No one's actually interviewed me, so you're sort of the first. It is nice to revisit memories,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that it's me. Like I appreciate that. I'm looking at who I was before. Mm. But I suppose what's difficult, have you ever seen a movie like Blade Runner?
Yeah.
You know, where these androids have memories of who they are.
Yeah.
But their memories are implanted.
Right.
That's something that I felt. At one moment, I didn't know whether all the memories that I had experienced previously
mm-hmm.
were simply implants, Westworld stuff. And because, you know, I live in Los Angeles, the movie-making machine,
mm.
a part of me was going, is this Matrix? Is this Matrix stuff?
Mm.
So it was really quite hard to just trust my my past.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, a great Edinburgh show.
Have you started writing it?
I actually have, yeah.
So do you gig much in LA?
Not at all.
What do you do?
Struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been really, really hard. I was working at a treatment centre for teenagers at high risk of suicide.
Oh, wow.
For quite a while. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
It felt like I was actually of use. Because yeah. I think for a while, and potentially it's a mix of the amnesia, but it also was the pandemic, I lost not just my sense of purpose, but all of a sudden I was thinking like a clown and an actor. Like, who cares? Like, how does that bring any value? And I, you know, relatively recently discovered that we really do provide a lot of value to people.
Mm.
Not only, let's say, at the very basic, we entertain, right? We make people laugh. We make them happy, even for a momentary, just a little moment.
Mm.
But potentially we're given a platform that we can be, you know, teachers, gurus, or whatever, like whatever kind of comedian we're going to be.
Mm.
We provide a bit of healing. Like I was in Laughlin, Nevada for a gig. And I did my gig and it was fine, you know, normal sort of show. And I'm sat at the bar and I'm chatting to the waitress, and there's a guy next to me and we're just chatting, right? And you could tell he's slumped, right? He's in his 60s and he's just slumped. He almost looked like an angry Benny Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having a chat, and at one moment the waitress says something. It was a really funny joke. We both laugh, but he laughed so hard that I saw him waking up.
Right.
Yeah, I saw him getting younger. Like he stood up straighter. His face, like his brows suddenly sort of lifted from his eyes. And honestly, he looked 20 years younger. And there was a moment where I was like, is that the Fountain of Youth?
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm not saying it is, right? But there was just a moment where if you can make people laugh, especially from the depths of a place where they've forgotten to laugh. You know, like when you hang out with your friends all the time at work, etc., you can sort of laugh almost every day. But some people are living their lives and maybe haven't laughed for months, potentially years. And if us comedians can find them and then make them laugh, oh, there's something very exciting about that.
Definitely.
And so...
What was the joke?
I can't remember.
Gagging
I can't remember.
Them.
And I even love that it didn't come from me, but that like humour and... just great comedy can come from anyone.
Yeah.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Hello, it's me, Annie McGrath from Secret Artists Podcast, interrupting myself on my own podcast to promote my gig, Annie McGrath and Friends, which is coming up alarmingly soon at 21 Soho on, you've heard of it, Halloween. Yes, that's right, it's Tuesday, the 31st of October. The spookiest night in the comedy calendar. And I've got an excellent lineup of comedians joining me. Lloyd Griffith, Elf Lyons, Vittorio Angeloni, Bronwyn Sweeney, and Dan Cook. It's going to be a brilliant evening. I urge you to book tickets via 21 Soho's website. It starts at 7:30. You'll be home in time to trick or treat. Ooh, I'm scared.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you love what you do?
Sometimes, not all the time.
Okay.
But I think, in terms of career paths, it's definitely a fun and exciting and can be a rewarding one, but it's not without its problems.
Well, do you have a you know, quote unquote normal job or not? Or when's the last time
you quit my day job last year?
Oh, ace!
I was working part time for an art sort of marketing company.
Oh wow!
So yeah, that was quite exciting, and I had quite a bit of comedy and writing work then. But it's as soon as things get a bit quieter and you start. I think the good thing about having a different job is the consistency and being around normal people.
Mm.
quote unquote normal, but you know, people who aren't in the industry.
Yeah. I think it's quite healthy.
Yeah, I think it is quite healthy. So anyway, I've just emailed a food bank this morning, so I might try and do some volunteering work like a few days a week or something.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, all for my own benefit, of course.
What do you mean?
You know, like making you feel better about yourself. It's like Phoebe and Friends saying there's no selfless good deed.
Yeah, but...
Do you agree with that?
I think it's one of those paradoxes where it's both.
Yeah.
You know, and also, what's wrong with making yourself feel good? Like, if you as a person don't feel good, how are you supposed to then enrich someone else's life?
That's true.
You're meant to. Like, selfish, for example, the word selfish has such negative connotations.
Mm.
And it's like, no, sometimes you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
They're
good at that in LA, aren't they? I feel like
they're very good at that in LA.
You do you.
Got to do that self-love. Yeah.
It's a big LA thing.
But I think I'm quite fortunate that that my hand was forced in that sense.
Mm.
You know, like, for example, just having lost doing stand-up. You know, a lot of people experienced it with the pandemic, but I experienced it just before with broken record, amnesia. Everything was taken away from me. So now the sense of gratitude that I have from just being on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so, so bloody grateful. When all of that happened, I sort of had to be selfish.
Yeah.
I didn't even know my name. You know, it took me about 2 years to accept that my name's Eric.
And then you might move back to the UK.
It's not a might. It's definite. A definite, because logically everything is telling me to move back.
Mm.
Not just career, but the social aspect, the romance aspect. You know, there's loads of different things that are
calling me
back home. You know, when I think of home, I think of London.
Yeah.
For example, so everything's calling me back. But I am fighting this strange sensation, this strange desire to stay in the US.
What is it, do you think?
But I don't know what it is. I don't even know if it's a self-destructive thing.
Right.
I feel like sometimes when I talk about Los Angeles, I go, oh, I'm in exile, which I don't think is very healthy, but it is what it feels like.
Yeah.
And
what about, have you still got family in France?
I do, yeah. Well, half my family.
But you wouldn't want to live there. Have you ever lived there? I can't remember.
I did a little bit of Paris.
And with the amnesia, presumably that didn't affect any of your ability to speak. You speak English and French. Do you speak any other?
I'm learning a couple more.
But you didn't have any problem speaking either language?
So the language thing wasn't affected. Okay. I was able to access that. And my motor functions weren't affected. But everything else, everything else came through catalysts. So, for example, my neighbor found me and was like, Eric, are you okay? And I didn't even know who Eric was, but she was looking at me. So I was like, I remember going, malfunctioning, when a robot's malfunctioning.
Yeah.
It was that. And so I could see worry in her face. So I then reflected that. I was now worried because this person who supposedly knew me was showing me worried.
Yeah.
And she invited me into her house. And she was an artist. She is an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she had one of her paintings on the wall. And it was of two babies, one black baby, one white baby. And the black baby was covering the white baby's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And my first memory is of Mallory Blackman's Noughts and Crosses.
Yeah.
Have you ever read it?
I have, yeah.
And for some reason, that's the first thing that came back to me.
Mm.
And strangely, I didn't know whether that meant anything or not.
Yeah.
So suddenly, I'm transforming from this first memory of a book about how like realities were swapped and stuff like that. And it made sense for me to think of that memory. And at the same time, maybe I made too much of it. But that was the first thing that came to me.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Interesting. Did you ever perform comedy in French?
Yeah.
Before you did it in English?
Not before I did it in English, no.
Do audiences differ, French audiences, to British ones?
And they differ, let's say, in France and then French Canada. Like French Canada has a British sense of humour, British-American sense of humour, so I can translate it exactly, as long as there's no play on words.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of know that it would work in Canada.
Okay.
But France, it's different.
In what way is it? Can you explain it?
And you know what? No, I can't really explain it exactly. I suppose, obviously, firstly, they come from a more theatre character background.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially there's that. So, but there is stand-up.
Prefer the sort of clowning side of things.
Yeah, but they do have stand-up. So it's not necessarily that. But like, for example, someone once said, I remember one day I was talking about drugs, and someone said, "Oh, you know, like French audiences, they look down on that." And I was like, "Why?" And it's because artists are taken care of quite well in France. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? So basically, if you've worked a certain amount of hours a year, you can get paid. Like, for example, if you don't work all of May, the government will pay you to survive.
Wow.
Because you're an artist. I love that.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just cannot ever imagine that happening.
I love
in the
that.
UK.
But at the same time, I like that artists have to struggle, because in a way, the pressure that we are put under forces us to create our way out of it.
Mm.
And I think through that struggle and that challenge, we often create our best work. I don't necessarily think that we have to suffer to create great art, but in my experience, sometimes it feels like some artists can get quite lazy because they're taken care of.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
No,
because of like the government taking care of the artists, they don't want to see the artists spending all their money on drugs and alcohol, for example. So I think that's what someone once said, and it's sort of, I was like, oh, that sort of makes sense.
Quick fire round. Portrait or landscape?
Landscape.
Hockney or Cézanne?
Cézanne.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Can't.
You just look so scared.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
Mm.
Oh, that's a great question.
Thanks.
Can you separate the art from the artist? I think you have to. Because if, for example, I was to create a piece of art that at that particular time needed to come out of me.
Mm.
Like I made a movie called Me Mori, which is Latin for let me die, but it's also a play on words, which is memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about half an hour long, maybe too long, but at the same time, there's nothing that I would cut out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to watch it, it is on my YouTube channel. It's mm-hmm. something that I'm really proud of, but it's also very specific of its time. It's like it had to come out of me. I don't know if you've ever had these experiences where, you know, like at one moment you sit down to write and it just flows out of you.
Mm.
But it had to come out of me. And I'm now a different person thanks to after doing that work, like a shedding of skin, like a snake or a spider. I had to crawl out of it through making art.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, for example, this, when Tarantino makes a film and everyone's just getting murdered, right? Does that mean that he's a murderer? Or, you know, no, right? But he still created it. It still came from his mind.
Mm.
So I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks you have to be able to separate the art from the artist. But it's really hard because it also came from them. But I don't know. There's Carl Jung talks about how artists are merely the instruments of the universe communicating with the rest of society.
That's nice.
And I really like that.
Yeah.
But then it does mean that, you know, if you did a great show or did a great painting, did you do it or did the universe do it? So you have to take responsibility and say, no, I did that. Shut up, the universe
did it.
What
do you think? Sorry, this is not a quick fire question.
Go on.
Do you worry about the implications of AI on art?
Not really, no. Because like it's trying to change something that you can't change. It's coming. So you might as well use it for your benefit. Yeah. I think like every now and then I tried ChatGPT just to try it. Like when it first sort of was in the zeitgeist, I was like, oh, what is this thing?
Yeah.
And it was just daunting and amazing. You know, like write me a 10-page script on this, and I just did it. And I was like, bloody hell, like we are all out of jobs, you know? But there's something kind of exciting about the fact that you can't stop it.
Mm.
Like, you know, in that movie Deep Impact, at one moment, you know, the giant tsunami is coming to kill everyone and a couple of people just stay on the beach to watch it because they're like, well, might as well just enjoy it.
Terrifying.
I'm looking forward to seeing what AI can do.
You're going to be there watching it stamp on us.
Yeah, but also I'll be part of the, I don't know which team I'm on. And after the experience that I had, a part of me, you know, does wonder whether
you're a bit AI.
Where I'm already in the machine.
Mm.
You know, again, this is Matrix stuff. Like, I used to think Matrix is a movie, and now I go, oh, I don't know if it's a movie. I think potentially it's a documentary.
It's a memoir about your life. Frank Jackson or Jackson Pollock?
Frank Jackson. Absolutely Frank Jackson. Jackson Pollock just made it up.
Sad clown or happy baby?
Happy baby.
Talk about or think about art?
Ooh, talk about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Oh, close up.
England or France?
Oh, no. Don't make me do that. Like, I won't answer.
London or LA?
London.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Landscape.
Private view or view of privates?
Ooh. private view.
Art or music?
Art.
Art or books?
Books.
Comedy or art?
Comedy.
Thank you. That's the end of the quickfire. Have you ever done life drawing with your opposite hand? You're right-handed, aren't you? So with your left hand.
Yeah, sometimes. Just to That's practice. Just to well. Just to give my brain... Like, because apparently, you know, like the right part of the brain deals with the, you know, that part of the hand or whatever.
Mm.
And so I give my two sides a little practice.
Mm. I like the one where you can't take your pencil off the paper as well. Have you done that? So you do like the continuous line of the body.
Yeah.
And then
I like
end up
that.
With loads of lines on the page. And it's quite cool. If you could own any artwork in the world, which would it be?
Oh, good question. I have the Edward Munch's Scream tattooed on my leg.
Oh, yeah. I think I knew that.
So,
nice.
I sort of really enjoy... I really enjoy that painting. I don't quite know why. It's hard to know, like, why. You know when people say, like, oh, you know, what inspires you to do so-and-so?
Mm.
It's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah, just do it.
I
do love a bit of Edvard Munch. Have you seen The Scream in person?
I have, yeah, in Oslo.
Yeah, me too.
I was doing some shows there for Latter Comedy.
Oh, yeah, I have just been there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you do the club?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Great, isn't it? Latter, yeah, and went to Bergen, did a gig there, and Copenhagen as well.
Oh, lovely.
They've got it all right in Scandinavia. Well, not all, but their way of life seems generally... Like they've nailed it.
Yeah, well, it's because they've got that philosophy, the Janteloven philosophy, Janter's Law.
What's that?
It's something like, you know, you're not better than anyone else
hmm.
Just because you've got more money or whatever. So I think they generally take care of their peeps.
Yeah.
But I said that and I was like, but you know, you still have like the King's Castle and stuff, so...
Yeah.
Clearly there are some people that have it better off.
And it's £10 for a coffee.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. Yeah, The Scream is good. Did you, when you saw your tattoos post-amnesia, were you like...
Yeah, it actually did affect me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what do they mean? What do they represent? Mm. And it was a little bit like that movie Memento, where I had to, essentially reconstruct an identity based on all the bits.
So did you know what the scream was on your leg, or were you like, I need to find out what that is?
I did a bit of research on it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite, it's a really surreal experience. And like, for example, I know that I'm here right now with you experiencing this. I'm aware of that. But there's a small part of me that really feels like I'm elsewhere.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's in the machine where they took me when I had amnesia in the hospital, or whether I'm still under hypnosis.
Right.
And all of this is my brain's way of self-regulating. Right, because I went under hypnosis to deal with some troubling experiences. Mm-hmm. So, am I still asleep? And this is just my brain going, then we'll get you to meet Annie, and we'll have a nice chat, and then you go somewhere else afterwards.
We'll do a painting,
and then we'll do a little painting, which is a really this is something, by the way, that I endeavor to do, is to complement my career in cinema and stand up with art therapy.
Oh, nice.
Wherever I end up, like, you know, buying a house or whatever, I would love to have a little studio where I do art therapy for kind of all the ages.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. I think we first met around the time you were doing the Up Your Viva adverts.
Oh, crikey. That was 2009.
Was it?
Yeah. And that left a... In fact, in hypnotherapy, I dealt with three memories. That
was one of them.
The Up Your Viva stuff was one of them.
Wow.
Because it was my first bit of TV. So
yeah.
I was like, I just wanted to entertain people, be a clown, be silly.
Yeah.
And, you know, my beard makes it look like I'm handsome and I have a chin. But if you remove the beard, there's a lack of chin. And, oh, God, when I smile, huge old gums, right? Like, I look perfect for a clown. I have a clown's face. And so I used it, you know, and my face is right up to the fucking front of the screen. I was really in people's houses, you know. And because I didn't know the power of a catchphrase, I didn't realize how annoying the commercial was going to be. And so...
That's not your fault, though.
No, but I took the brunt of people's toxicity in the UK. Hundreds of thousands of people joined Facebook groups dedicated to, like, how ugly I was and like, killing me. And,
oh, my God.
And some of them would directly message me with death threats. I don't understand. Just because
it's horrible.
It was a horrendous experience. And so I was scared of, like, sometimes leaving the house. And then many experiences of, like, I wonder if it held me back, because I said no to quite a few panel shows and stuff because I was, like, just nervous.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That people would, you know, and I'd ask my parents. I was like, oh, just don't go on social media, or definitely change your name, because I didn't want them to be receiving death threats just because of my lack of chin. Which, and what was weird is that as a comedian, I took that, right? I made it sort of fun. I even had a fun Edinburgh show called Two Tickets to the Gum Show.
Yeah.
Where I made light of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realise that inside I was tortured by this sort of experience. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Did it put you off doing any commercials ever again? Or are you sort of, do you feel like you're over the trauma, not over it, but do you think you're ready to go back into doing something like that?
I'm totally ready. You know, and I did do some work. It's not like it stopped me from doing work, but I was very apprehensive about what I should and should not do.
Yeah.
And it made me very scared of, like, it made me worried about other people's opinions. And now I just don't care. Like, once you've died once, who gives a shit? It's very freeing.
Amen. Are you nearly ready to show?
Okay, so it's a transformation. Do you want to show? Do you want to show yours first, or
let's do it at the same time?
Okay, one, two, three.
Wow, yours is very beautiful.
Yours is very beautiful.
Yours is a sort of nice lady dancing.
Yeah, you know, I think dance is a way for us to
transform
ourselves. Like, when I have a shitty day, or in all fairness, I actually
it's
do it every
really
day.
Good.
I put a bit of music on and I dance, like, in my house and stuff. I love dancing.
That's so really nice. Has she got a sort of hula around her?
No, that's the movement.
That's the movement.
That's the swish, cosmic. Swish. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love the blue background as well.
Thanks, mate.
It's beautiful. I did a sort of transformation of a caterpillar.
Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah, it's like literal transformation.
It's very literal. Thank you, Eric.
No, I love that.
It's been fun.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Is there anything you want to plug?
Just, yeah, go on my YouTube channel.
Yeah. What's the URL?
It's my name. It's okay. Just Eric Lamper.
Yeah.
And then on there, there's like a few things that I created from the amnesia. And some videos are like, I'd say they're quite far out and quite explorative and experimental. And it's weird, but I think it's those videos that I think are too weird now. Mm-hmm. But in 10 years or 20 years time, when I land all these big jobs or whatever, and I said, not if, when I land these jobs, right? That's the American in me.
Yeah.
When I land these jobs, eventually people will be like, oh, I wonder what he'd been up to all this time.
Yeah.
You know, because people will say overnight success or whatever. And it's like, no, not really.
No.
And these videos will be so weird that I think they'll be an interesting look into the evolution of who I eventually become.
Yeah.
So go on my YouTube channel. Yeah, that's the...
Great.
That's the thing I like.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you. Is there anything that you want to plug?
No. I think this podcast. Okay. To the people that have already listened to it. Thank you, Eric. Nice to see you.
Thank you to Eric, and thank you all for listening. If you want to see mine and Eric's artworks from today's episode, then make sure you're following Secret Artists on social media at Secret Art Pod. Eric's on social media at Eric Lamper. I'm on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Annie McTweet, and on Instagram, McGraw.Annie and McGraw.Art for my art. If you want to leave us a lovely, lovely review, then please do so. You can also make a one-off donation via the link in the show notes. Thank you so much, and see you next time. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.